Oh God of power, the living word, the one who made the stars, who with your glory filled the earth, made us from beating hearts. You loved us when we fell away, poured mercy on our souls, and promised grace would come to save, to lose this iron hold. You are our song from age to age, our voices unite to recount your praise again and again. Oh God, our promises fulfilled, the God who took our flesh, who did all that the Father will, was humbled unto death. You bore our cross of sin and shame, endured our agony. With gladness we now bear your name and worship at your feet. You are our song from age to age, our voice unite to recount your praise again and again. Oh God, who surely guides our steps through tempests and through trials, now Shepherd King, your way is best, no fears now veil our eyes. Your steadfast love, our perfect hope, our eyes are fixed on grace. We have no doubt you'll lead us home to finally see your face. You are our song from age to age, our voices unite to recount your praise again. Of all of history, enthroned in realms of light, what eyes of faith have strained to see will one day fill our sight. With all the saints we'll lay our crown before the Savior's feet, and sing as all the hymns resound for all. To recount your praise again and again. You are our song from age to age. We will proclaim your power to save again and again.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ethan, if you didn't know that already. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 6, we're going to be reading from verse 1 to 8. Let's read. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown. And he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages. Do not damage the oil and the wine. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the four living creatures say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Well, will you pray with me now? Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and that it is truth. We thank you for the Lamb, Jesus, our perfect sacrifice, who has saved us from death. And Lord, now in our current situation, things seem uncertain, but we thank you that we can look to you, look to Jesus, and remember that you have it under your control and it is in your goodwill. And that nothing can separate us from you, O Lord. Not pain, nor suffering, not even death. We are in your hands. You are our refuge. And I pray for Bill as he brings your word now, that you would give us open hearts and that you would help us to apply it to our lives. In your name, amen.
You're muted again, Bill, sorry.
Okay, can you hear me?
Perfect.
Cool. Thanks for that prayer, Ethan. We're in the hands of the Lord here, and I hope you're remembering that no matter what's going on around you, Jesus wins. He's winning now, and he wins in the end. Now, as we're getting deeper into this book of Revelation, we need to remember it's a revelation of Jesus Christ to John in a series of visions. And they're symbolic visions, but they're visions. So these visions are sort of a forerunner of television, only better because it's real history and real future. And the Lord Jesus is the master film director. He's giving us these visions. He's given the visions to John and for us. And John's there on the film set watching. And John, remember, he started off in the chapters 2 and 3 seeing the bad stuff that was going on in the churches below. And then he had this shot of heaven where he sees that God is reigning and the Lord is in control. And during chapter 5, John sees this shot in heaven where there was this scroll. Now, this scroll contains the very salvation and history of the world. And there's no one found worthy to open the scroll except for one. Jesus is worthy to open the scroll. But now we come to an even more dramatic part of the movie where this scroll is actually open, one seal at a time. There are 7 seals on the scroll, and the seals are being opened, and that's chapter 6. Now, the first seal that's opened, if we read chapter 6, verse 2 again, I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. Now, the identity of this horse and rider is disputed among the scholars. Some say it's Jesus. Some say it's the Antichrist. Others say it's the gospel going forth, which I kind of lean towards. But the thing we need to note here is it's not as important as the other horses as this one. It's not as crucial that we know exactly what's going on here because none of the things described relate directly to our lives that we can see right now. So we're going to concentrate. We don't have time to go right into that first horse, but we're going to concentrate on the ones that are clear. And that's the following 3 horses or the following 3 seals that are open. So we move down to chapter 6, verse 4. Then another horse came out. After he opens the second seal, and another horse came out, a fiery red one. A rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword. So violence comes upon the earth, people killing each other. And then the third seal is opened, chapter 6, verse 5. When the Lamb, that's Jesus, he's the Lamb worthy to open the seals. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Now, it's important here. Scales are associated with famine in the Old Testament. So it signifies a food shortage. Food's expensive or scarce in this time. But it actually says in the very next verse, in verse 6, the luxuries of oil and wine are still available. So that means food is only scarce to those who can't afford it. So those horses and riders tell us that evil people will do evil things. There'll be violence. There'll be greed. But this is why we need the book of Revelation. Why John needed the book of Revelation. Why those first readers in those churches that he's writing to needed the revelation. And this is why you need revelation. It's when evil strikes, when evil people do evil things, we need to remember who it is that's opening the seals, who it is that is controlling this whole thing. Yes, evil is done by evil people. Jesus does not do the evil, but it can never outsmart his purposes. He is so in control of it that he's the one who's opening the seals. So we need this book of Revelation. When trouble strikes, when evil hits, it looks like evil is winning, but look who's in control. Look who's opening the seals. And we didn't even get to the fourth seal yet. Now, when could something like this happen? Read with me in chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, he heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Wow, you look at that. All those terrible things going on, people killing each other, famine, great shortage of food, a lack of peace on the earth, plagues, and what about those beasts of the earth? And death sweeping across a quarter of the people on the earth. Now, surely this is something that must be going to happen in the future or sometime that's not related to us. The official death rate in Australia right now is about 1% per year. 1% per year. So when could this be happening, when a quarter of the earth would be dying? What kind of world would it be when this takes place? You know, John here is receiving a vision from Jesus. It's symbolic. It's not meant to be exactly literal, but even allowing for that, how could this be speaking to us in our day? Surely the people who say, hey, this is all going to happen sometime in the future, they got something, an argument here. A time when violence, when famine, when plagues, wild beasts killing people, a fourth of the people on the earth. When could that happen? When could something like that happen? When could millions be starving? I wonder if we're so sheltered in Australia, so conditioned to our comfort, desensitized to what's going on in the world that's around you right now. If you one day are on a minimum wage in Australia, minimum wage, that will make you in the top 1.5% richest people in the world. So what are the other 98.5% of people in the world doing? Well, much of the world is either starving or living in poverty, below the poverty line, and has been throughout history. But not the rich. Chapter 6, verse 6 says they still got their oil and wine. And people being killed. Diseases. Did you notice the coronavirus getting mentioned there in verse 8? Plagues and diseases. How could we miss it? We're crying out, Lord, what's going on in the world right now? You've been asking that? What's going on in the world? Well, now you know. The seals have been opened. The powers of those evil riders have been released. And what's the message? This is a world that's under judgment. It's a fallen world. It's a cursed world. It's because man sinned against God. And this is the world that we get. This is the result of us rebelling against God. And take a look around you. That's the world we live in. You know, on one hand, we reel when we see atrocities, when we see starvation, war and violence. Peace never seems to be on the earth. And we look at Revelation and we go, oh, what's this all about? Sometime in the future, when there'll be war, bloodshed, famine, peace taken from the earth. Try telling that to the millions of people in the world now who have felt the pain of war, who have felt the pain of death to those close to them, who have felt the pain of violence and the wars that go on even in our time, even in recent time, and even now in the Middle East, in Africa, recent times, it's here. Now, what about those beasts of the earth? Now, if you want to take those beasts literally, it has to include every creature on the earth, because the word in the original Greek language that translates wild beasts includes every kind of creature. It's the same word that's translated viper, the one that latched onto the Apostle Paul's hand in Acts 28. So it's not just large predators, but any kind of snakes or spiders or bugs or germs that take millions of lives. And remember, our text we just read is not saying that the wild beasts of the earth kill a fourth of people on their own. That's just one part of the many ways that death comes to take a fourth of people. You go, well, hang on, these creatures, germs, they're just part of life, aren't they? Isn't that normal part of life? Have we gotten so used to a world under judgment that we don't even notice? It's not normal. That is not the good world that God gave us in the beginning. There were no germs and diseases. There were no thorns and thistles. There was no violence or killing. John saw a glimpse of heaven after Jesus gave him that vision at the beginning of chapter 4. In the very start of chapter 4, Jesus tells him, what you're about to see are the things that must take place after this. So after John's time, from the time of John, the intensity continues to progress through the opening of the seals. Now, you look at history from John's time, we don't have time to do a complete survey, but the first 300 years, there was horrible violence and persecution against Christians. In fact, the persecution reached a great height in Roman times in those first 300 years, particularly towards the end of those 300 years. And the last half of that third century, nearly half the population was killed from war, pestilence, famine, invasions, tyrants. But that's just the first 300 years. We could go right through each century and see that those things are repeated time after time, century after century. This is the world that we live in, a fallen world, a world under judgment. It's a world that's being described here in Revelation 6 that's right before our eyes now. Now, human sin caused this world to be cursed and under judgment. And the intensity becomes more apparent from the time of these seals being opened, from the time of the apostle, from the time of Jesus coming on this earth. So Revelation 6:8 also says plagues throughout history. Ever heard of the bubonic plague and others like it? In the 14th century, the Black Death killed at least 50 million people. Some say as many as 200 million. What's that? Well, it was about 1/4 of the world's population at the time, if not more. And it swept across Asia into Europe and North Africa. And then we've been hearing about the Spanish flu about 100 years ago. Infected up to 500 million people and killed between 50 and 100 million people over 2 years. So what about today? You've got 38% of people end up getting some form of cancer. They don't all die from it, but 38% of people get some form of cancer. But what about the plagues that do kill people? AIDS, SARS, Ebola. Anyone heard of COVID-19? The seals in Revelation 6 have been opened. Do you know, in the last century, we saw two devastating world wars. World War I, World War II killed about 60 million people. Violence, famines, people killing each other. And people being starved to death deliberately. Mao Zedong is famous for saying, "We've got so many people, we can afford to lose a few." He deliberately starved out, and they've got no way of knowing. Some say 40 million, some say as many as 80 million people were deliberately starved to death. Now, people dying, and you turn around and say, well, many of those are just natural deaths. Let's make something clear here. Death is not natural. We just get so used to evil and this evil world, we think it's normal. Death is an intrusion into God's good world. That's why he has the plan for a new heaven and a new earth. Will there be no more death or mourning or crying or pain? Because this world has been intruded into by sin, by Satan, and we see it before our eyes, the rider of death. It's a world under judgment. The wages of sin is death. So for much of history, that death rider takes great numbers of people in death through plagues, diseases. Do you know, until modern medicine, the life expectancy for children in infancy was what? About 1 in 4 were expected to die. What did Revelation say? 1/4 of the earth, people will die. And this is still the case in a lot of third world countries today. My friend, Reverend Chold Yat, tells us his name is a common name for children in Sudan because it means instead of, because they're so used to losing a child. But we might say, hang on, for us here in Western society, we don't see that happening. And we've only got an average death rate of about 1% per year. So this horse rider of death must be some time in the future for us. Got nothing to do with us. Really? Today, we've got another means of killing off our children right here in this country, don't we? In fact, in the United States, this is the United States statistics, so I presume it would be about the same for Australia, but babies are being aborted at a rate of what? About 22% of those conceived. If you want to look for 1/4 of the population being killed right here, there it is. The creatures and the diseases don't have much ground to make up the rest of 1/4. We're taking care of most of it ourselves. You know, in John's day, killed by the sword meant a long sword. Today, it's a scalpel. There's millions of unborn children are killed. Famines, COVID-19, and you want to say Revelation, hey, well, what would it be like when these things happen sometime in the future? What world are you living in now? Take a look around you. See, we're nice and comfy. We're here in cozy little Hobbiton. We're all little hobbits, just isn't life good, you know, Bilbo and his friends. But if this is not a world that's in tribulation, how much more death do you want? And don't you feel it yourself that this is a world filled with evil? Perhaps we don't feel it as much as we should because we are so sheltered here, but the world is filled with pain, with loss, with heartache. Some of us even live with turmoil and conflict in the home. Maybe some of you are suffering. Some of you know what it is to go through pain, through loss. Maybe you've even felt like giving up. Well, don't give up, because you've got to wait until the end of the story, the end of Revelation, which will tell us there's a plan. And it's not just happening in some arbitrary way. Revelation is teaching us the corruption of this world. And yes, he wants us to live out our lives and look forward to that time where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. We will wipe every tear from our eyes. And that's what the cross purchased, not just the salvation of our souls, but also the new heaven and the new earth. But for now, we are living in a world that is fallen, a world that is under judgment. And it gets worse before it gets better. Have a look at what follows the pale horse and rider of death. The next one, right behind him like a shadow. Did you notice that when we read Revelation 6:8? Read it again with me. I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. So hiding right behind Death, so most people on earth didn't even know he was there. The rider's named Death, but it was Hades was following close behind him. Hades is the realm of the dead. Pain and torment, judgment for the sins you've committed. And unbelievers tell you, well, when you die, you die, there's nothing. Well, you can hope all you like. But here is Jesus, the most truthful one who ever walked the face of the earth, telling us that right behind death's door is Hades. The death horse rider sweeping across the earth, these partial judgments coming upon the earth are telling us to wake up. It's a warning. Death is coming, but it's worse. Death is not the end. After death comes Hades. And how are you going to get out of Hades? The answer is there's no getting out. If you go into Hades, you ain't going to come out. But if you read this book of Revelation, and you take it to heart, and you read, if we had time, we would have gone over the chapter 1 at the start, but we'll have a look at a snippet right now. Chapter 1, verse 18. Jesus said, I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and what? I hold the keys of death and Hades. The keys. The keys, if you put your trust in Jesus, he's got the keys. And this book was written for you. It's for you now. It's written to tell you to hold on to Jesus in the midst of the tribulation of this world, the world of evil. How will you be able to hold on when it looks like evil is winning? Well, you know that evil is not going to win and evil is not winning because Jesus is the one who's opening the seals. He's fully in control of it. He is risen. He has ascended. And it looks like evil is winning, but he is the one who controls it. Therefore, that's why he can work all things together for good for those who love him, because he's completely in control. He's even opening these seals. He's letting history unfold. And he's the king over the kings of the earth. Remember, we looked at that last time. He's controlling all the kings of the earth. And he'll reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. So these horses are going forward. And yes, this is a dying world. And yes, this death rider has been released. And yes, Hades is following right behind death. Each one who goes through that death door, one after another, shoop, into Hades. And there's no getting out. Now, what are you going to do with these horses and riders wreaking havoc in Hades? Well, when we get right through Revelation up to chapter 19, we find there's another rider who's going to come. And this one is the King of Kings. The same one who opens the seals is also the same one who came into this dark world in person. The God of the universe came into this world in person and defeated the death rider. He took on death, but he also took on Hades. A lot of people misunderstand this and they water down the cross. When Jesus went to the cross, he didn't just defeat death through his death and resurrection. He defeated Hades because he is the eternal Son of God, and he took on that cross the eternal wrath of God. He paid the penalty of eternal hell. He beat not only death, but Hades. For all those who put their trust in him. Not those who just pay lip service, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But those who really believe in Jesus as the King of Kings. Those who truly have him as the King of their lives and don't hide away some little part of their life that this bit's for me. But they hand it all over to the King and they find forgiveness, freedom, and the promise of the new heaven and new earth where he'll wipe every tear away. And the promise that he's with us now through, though it looks like evil is winning. It's not winning. Jesus is winning. He's the one who's opening the seal. So it all comes down to this. All these things that are going on around you now are actually given to you under the control of Jesus, that you might wake up, stop living for this world. This is not all there is. This is the time to take hold of Jesus, who's got a plan for you to be part of his plan in this world, to get this gospel to the ends of the earth, to take refuge in him, to believe, to repent and believe in him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you, Lord, for the wonder of the way that even though evil is raging and evil people, Satan and evil men are doing evil things, and yet our King is so in control of it, so putting a restraint on it, that he's the one who opens the seals and controls exactly how it's released as a warning for us, to tell us that this world is under judgment. This world is finished. This world is cursed. That he has a plan for a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells, where there will be no more death, no more crying, no more pain. Lord, I just pray that each one of us would be in that banquet, that glorious gathering, where there will be no more sin, where we will be free from all of the evils of this world, and that even this day, each one of us would take hold of the glorious, precious promises of Christ, who has the keys of death and Hades, to release us and free us, that we can be sure and certain that we will be partakers in that glorious new heaven and new earth, and partakers in his plan for this life, to proclaim his glory and live for him as king through this life, in the plan that he has for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.